Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome to, I think this marks our year anniversary of podcast
like
or something
we
like that.
We started sometime, I think, in the fall last year.
Yeah.
I remember we did an after Christmas one.
Yes.
And so that's coming soon.
Yeah,
so
that's coming soon. And we had a couple before that. So
yeah.
So we'll just officially say that this is our celebratory 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And this is our special extended Christmas edition podcast.
Yeah, got a lot to talk about
for everybody that wants to be on the road driving to various locations for their family. Now you got something nice that you can throw on the old radio and listen to us gab.
That's right.
And
as much Sid Caesar as you can stand.
All Sid Caesar all the time. It's WSID radio.
So you got any Christmas plans this year?
Just the casual, the normal stuff. We do Christmas Eve. Usually we do it at Sarah's aunt's, but this year we're going to do it at Sarah's parents. And then Christmas Day, we go over to her parents for lunch, and then we go to my parents for dinner. And the good thing about that is that we do our gifts in the morning, and then we go to her parents, and we do gifts from her parents, and then we go to my parents, and we do gifts from my parents. So it's like this whole day of opening presents,
wow.
Which is really kind of cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's neat.
What do you got? What are you doing? Your family's up. Your dad's up, and then your sister comes up, right?
Yeah, my dad's visiting from Taiwan. He's it's been, I think, 3 or 4 years since the last time he was here. And so usually he comes like in the fall.
Yeah.
So we'll have the family Christmas. So,
nice.
Like me, my sister, and dad. You know, mom passed away in 92. So we have our ornament up on the Christmas tree.
Aww.
We have this little like framed picture of her up there near the top of the tree.
Yeah.
Where it belongs.
Aww.
And they'll probably be eating and making things and hanging out. I think that's about as far ahead as I've thought.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about what to eat or what to cook or things. I still have to do a lot of Christmas shopping still. It wasn't so bad earlier today.
Good luck
but,
on
that. Yeah, I might have to sneak out a little bit later tonight and see if I can get some stuff. Package should have.
It's probably better to go during the day, right? The afternoon.
Yeah, because I think people come back after work.
Yeah, after work they're going to want to go.
They're crazy.
You should probably go when
they're crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll try it tomorrow morning or something like that.
Yep.
And see some last minute Christmas presents.
The week is always crazy before Christmas, especially shopping. I remember one time we went Christmas Eve. Somebody brought me to the mall. Might have been my dad because
really?
He waits to the last minute. And I just remember walking around the mall on Christmas Eve and it was like there's so many people. And you get like all the people that procrastinated.
Yeah.
And then they're all angry because there's like nothing left. Yeah, like, where's all the stuff? I don't understand.
Everything's picked over. And like
you totally have the scraps. Like
the only sizes left are small, extra, extra
well,
large.
Well, I'll just buy these and then they can return them and exchange them.
You know, some people do that. I don't get it. I mean, it seems wrong to me. Like I know, I have some friends that they go through this flurry of buying things and they look at it and go, huh. And then the next thing they do is they all go return it. And it's like, it's just part of their ritual. Whereas like, I've always imagined like, if you buy a present, it's like, it means something.
Right.
It's not just like a chit that you cash in to get something else you really wanted. Well, it's just going to be a gift card.
Yeah.
Or have a big meal.
That's
I'm kind of almost at the age. It sounds terrible. They almost don't want presents anymore.
I know somebody that used to take gifts like they didn't like Christmas. They would get all the gifts from their family members and then they would bring them all back and then pocket the cash.
Wow.
Because they didn't believe in you should. It's, what's why are you wasting money on gifts for me? I don't want them. So they would just bring them back.
That's very sad. It makes me sad. So it was like your present has not left an emotional impact upon me. I will return it for cold hard
cash. And they had this crazy argument because they were like, "Well, what's why do you do that? The only reason why you give me a present is because you feel better doing it."
Huh.
So they would just take them.
Well,
just return them, pocket the money.
Well,
that's crazy.
I imagine the number of presents that person got dwindled over the years.
Yeah.
Yep. That's very sad.
But on a brighter note.
So how did Sarah's ornament party go?
It went really well. We had, I forgot how many people. There was quite a few people that came in, and it was from like 1 to 4. And when everybody left at the end of the event, we had a little under 100 or freshly made ornaments.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And then people had donated a whole bunch of stuff. So she ended up leaving the studio that night with like 3 trash bags full of stuff that she was going to drop off to the pastoral care center. And I have like another 2 big boxes in my truck that I have to give to her. from other people that have left stuff off.
Oh, that's great.
Since then. So that was really cool. So she was really, really happy about that. And we had some really nice people come, and I think she wants to do that probably again next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I wanted to stay and make an ornament, but then like I started coughing.
You like, just, like you exploded. Walked in, and you just, you're like, he's like, you came in and you walked over there, and then you just turned around and you're like, okay, bye, and then you just like walked right out again. Your sister didn't even have time to take her coat off. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess we're leaving.
I thought I was going to stay long, but then I felt this really big bout of coffee coming up, and I was just like, I'm just going to like, you know, make everything damp. Yeah, there's glitter and spittle all over these ornaments. How wonderful. It'll be like those cholera blankets.
Somebody
like said, like all these, look, we've got these Christmas tree ornaments, like Christmas is saved. And then they're like, why are we sick?
Why
do we have this terrible cough? Thanks, we've got
Dave.
The Chinese whooping cough now. Great.
Thanks, Dave. Ugh. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So, yeah. So, and you went and saw, you went to opening night of Tron.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you see it in 3D?
3D.
How was it in 3D?
It was actually pretty cool. I was expecting it to kind of suck. It was kind of subtle 3D, except for some of the title. So the title effects were really cool.
Yeah.
And call 3D things and coming out. And they had a new 3D, that sort of opening IMAX 3D thing.
Mm-hmm.
It had a better one now. That was pretty cool. But, yeah, it was.
Was it worth? Was it like $35 for a ticket?
It was like $14. $14. I think it was $12 plus a $2 handling fee because I bought my ticket a month ago. It was absolutely sold out. And we got there and we're standing in line. So me, my friend Duncan, and Alan's waiting for his friends. And we're all like in our 40s, right? Everyone else is 20, 22.
So you were like the originals, man. You were like representing the original movie.
I was thinking, there's got to be at least one bearded Unix hacker somewhere in here. But no, we were the oldest people there. And Duncan said when we were getting our 3D glasses, the girl looked at us and kind of laughed because we looked like people's dads or something like that. But everyone was there texting and checking their iPhones and their Androids, like, to see what's going on. There were people dressed up as Tron.
I was going to say, we're like the hardcore Tronophytes out there.
Yeah, there were people. The people kept yelling, Tron! 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 And I was saying, why are all these people here?
Oh.
But I think there was probably a lot of... Well, I guess Tron does have the geek credibility.
Yes.
And there were a lot of Daft Punk fans there, too.
Was there any helmets? Did you see any helmets there?
Didn't see any helmets. Didn't see any helmets, but it was a good show. And the movie itself, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I hadn't seen Tron in a long time. And the last time I saw it, I remember it not being quite so taken with it. Kind of appreciating its place in, geek cinema history, but not really being drawn into it. Not the way the last Starfighter, would, right?
My buddy Ralph, he's a huge, huge Tron. He actually has he's got a Discs of Tron arcade stand-up.
Oh, he does? Wow.
Yeah, and he's like, but he's a huge Tron fan, and I remember when he was talking about it a long time ago, he had the Laserdisc. It was like a deluxe Laserdisc. Disney had put out a deluxe Laserdisc when Laserdiscs were big. And he was like, it had this whole documentary and everything. And he's like, in one of the scenes, he's like, you can see that they're interviewing the producer or the producer. And you can see him sitting at his desk and he's like, his head's like practically like resting on his desk. He's like, and you can almost see like the gun underneath the desk aimed at his head. It was really funny.
That's awesome.
But the
movie itself was, it was actually pretty enjoyable. Visually, scrumptious.
Yeah.
Audio, the soundtrack was scored by Daft Punk.
Yeah.
And
it's a pretty good soundtrack. They did pretty good for like their first attempt at like scoring a motion.
Yeah, picture. I mean it fits like the environments really, really well.
Yeah.
Kind of seamless. As I was watching it. There were little plot points and little scenes I remember, sub-second cuts of things that I remember that were kind of lame. Like, especially in this one club scene that's later.
That Daft Punk is in.
Yeah, that Daft Punk is in. Every time Daft Punk would appear, everyone would go, yay! Everyone would cheer and applaud because they were so happy to see them there.
Wow.
Doing their thing.
Their cyber...
But But it was very... I think I posted a mini Facebook status update saying it was like 98% geek perfect as a movie.
Yeah.
And by judging by geek criteria, you don't need a movie that has... lots of like really good dialogue, and it doesn't have to have a scintillating plot or anything like that.
But
it just needs to have what you need—the stuff that's cool to string together that meets the needs of, I guess, the geek romantic heart. so to speak. I mean, like, you want to see cool ships.
Yeah.
You want to see people doing things. You want to see, like, some act of heroism.
Yeah.
And then everything else is kind of gravy.
Hot. You got to have hot chicks, right?
Olivia Wilde is in the movie, and she is...
Hot Tron chick?
She's delightful. I thought she had brought a good energy to it. I'd seen the trailers before, and she's in that scene in which, like, she's driving some vehicle, and she, like, picks up, like, the other dude who's...
Kid.
Yeah, the kid of Jeff Bridges from the first movie, which
Flynn.
The son of Flynn.
Son of Flynn.
And, I was going, like, what's this, like, she seemed out of place there because she seemed like she was full of life and stuff. Whereas the rest of the, you don't think of Tron as being a place where there's a lot of emotion and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was actually an interesting character. Like, if I think back at it, you know, it's very derivative of many other things.
Yeah.
But you don't need that. Like, from a geek perspective, you know, it has the right arc to carry along all the visual candy and all the ideas that you're thinking about as you're watching this. Because, you know, if you're a true geek, you're watching this and saying, yeah, what would it be like to be in a virtual world like this? What would this mean? And I'm here with my engineering computer science background thinking, like, I wonder how that would work. and then purposely not thinking about the things, like, this is, like, 1980s computer chip technology. And somehow is able to hold, like, you know, all this stuff to be able to do these things and have these magical algorithms appear. So it's like, and I'm thinking, no way.
Huh.
But you just suspend that sort of stuff and enjoy it for what it is. So I liked it. It was good. I'd see it again.
Good. Well, so you had, like, the whole nerd crowd waiting for the movie to show up?
You know, outside?
Yeah, like when you were waiting to get into the movie.
Yeah. It was fairly quiet.
I kind of enjoy those. Like, we've done the Lord of the Rings ones, and then we did all the episode 1, 2, and 3, I think. I know we did episode 1. We did it down in Lowell. And that was pretty intense because there was a lot of dudes in full costumes and like a bunch of people brought in their force effects lightsabers, and they were turning them on before the movie started. so that was really
good. Did you bring yours?
I did not. No, I did not. I'm not that hardcore to do that. And Lord of the Rings was the same thing. Usually there was, like, you know, people in all kinds of Lord of the Rings outfits.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool.
It's a good vibe.
Because you know that they're there.
You're with
because they're
people.
Really, really, you know, hardcore nut fans. And
yeah. I enjoyed it. Nice. I enjoyed it. I felt bad because I didn't wear a appropriate T-shirt.
Yeah,
at least Duncan, he had a vintage Atari T-shirt on.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing was, he hadn't even realized he was wearing it. And I was going, oh, and I'm looking at it. I'm not wearing anything that's even remotely cool.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm wearing my warm orange fleece, which I'm wearing right now, which is, like, you know.
Yeah, where's your vintage, like, you know, 1982 Circa shirt? Where's your Commodore 64 shirt? Or your
Shirt or your... Even if it was a new Commodore 64 shirt or something. And I just felt disconnected. And, like, look at my phone. My phone was, like, you know, Duncan was like, what kind of phone do you have there? I haven't seen one of those before. Oh, this is, like, an LG Rumor. It came about
3 years
about
old.
5 years ago. And it was very popular with 11-year-old girls.
Hey, I have that kind of phone, too, so.
Yeah, I know.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
My orange and blue scheme.
Yeah, so that was Tron. It's definitely worth seeing in IMAX if you like effects and spectacle.
Now, from a geek point of view, was it worth? Is there a hole that this movie has filled in? Like, did it need a sequel? Because I've seen Tron a lot, and it might story wise it's not the best. I just think from an artistic standpoint, just like the fact that, like, they went in and hand colored all, it just has this look to it that looks you know unique.
Yep.
Does this feel just like a CG sequel that or is there enough validation?
There's something that it was very satisfying about seeing the world of trying to reimagine with current computer technology.
Yeah.
Like, because you knew that what they were reaching for back in the old ones. And, like, just to see it, like, having grown up. And there's also this weird generational thing with Jeff Bridges.
I was going to say, if he had not been in it, would it
if he had not been in it, it would not have been worth it. Okay. For something, Jeff Bridges had an incredible, like, grounding. When you see him as the old Jeff Bridges, they had the computer-generated young Bridges using that markerless facial tracking technology from Image Metrics or something like that. That's a company that specializes in it. They did the Benjamin Button work. I don't think they did it for this movie. I haven't been able to find any kind of credits or reference for it.
Okay.
But very similar. But it's kind of creepy. There's this one scene in the opening in which the young Jeff Bridges is in the real world. And it's shot mostly from the back of his head.
Oh, right.
But there's a couple scenes in which he's facing the camera, and it doesn't quite work.
Something looks a little...
Doesn't quite work. And then Benjamin Button, like most of the scenes of young, what's his face? Brad Pitt. He's not moving. Like this, the computers can render beautiful stills of people that look photorealistic, but the moment their faces start moving, there's just things that are a little bit off about it.
Yep.
You know?
Huh.
But when you see old Jeff Bridges, and he's you know, kind of channeling, you know, kind of his like Big Lebowski.
Everybody
thing
was making, yeah, saying that there was like dude, like not references, but like he had that dude thing because he's like chilled out.
Yeah, he's chilled out. He's gotten all zen and stuff like that. But it was cool to see it. The whole Son of Flynn thing, you know, they didn't play it up into You Are the One, even though there were some like things in the background that were sort of referential to
Neo.
That. Yeah, but you know, he didn't go fly up into the sky or do anything. He didn't actually even do anything that was particularly awesome. He just like was basically just trying not to get killed. But I enjoyed seeing like the revisualization, and it was cool. Like my friend Alan, who's like an industrial designer, he pointed out like that they'd kept some of the Sid Mead original references.
Okay,
Sid Mead is a futurist. He was big. He did the design for Blade Runner.
Yes, he did.
Tron, I believe he designed the light cycles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but he has a particularly recognizable style. He likes to use these big round circle elements. Yeah. And, you know, so that look kind of is him. And they kept a lot of that.
Huh.
And then they updated some other things, like those big hook-shaped ships that come down.
They're
more animated, but everything glows in the movie. Yeah. And it's like
the glowing thing is
cool. It was just kind of cool to see, like, to come back. And so for me, there's also this nostalgic part. There's a scene that he comes in to the old arcade and turns on, and there's all the machines lined up under the plastic wrap.
Yeah.
And then you remember what it was like when you used to go in an arcade and you hear them all playing at the same time. There's a chill. So I felt this chill at that moment.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice.
I found it satisfying, and like the poll of our friends, like we were satisfied too. We'd probably go see it again.
Worth the price of admission?
I think so. Don't go there for the story. Go there for the visuals and for, you know, maybe some of the nostalgic elements.
Yeah.
See how they – how do you take, like, a classic property like Tron and update it? Some of the armor is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go see it. I mean, yeah. I like the first one. I've seen the first one enough that
– yeah. Yeah, I should – do you have it on DVD?
I do. Ryan's borrowing it right now.
Ryan's borrowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
Which I checked on. I was reading something on Boing Boing, and like the prices for the DVD, evidently they're not in print anymore.
No, really?
They're crazy. Like that double disc one is like $75. And then if you've got the original one disc Disney one that came out, like in like 1990 or something, it's even higher. And I was like, well, since when?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea.
I was reading somewhere that some guy was waiting for it on their Netflix queue, and they're just saying like they can't tell
where
it's going to be back in.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Good. So, yeah, so I probably will go see it.
Mm.
I don't think I'm going to go see it in 3D, though.
No.
I'm not a big 3D fan.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I didn't know you could keep the glasses, so I kept mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they have, like, a big bucket that you can dump them in?
Yeah, there was this person there that was we were
please
exiting.
Please recycle what you have worn.
Yeah, and they said, like, please put your glasses here if you're not going to keep them. I said, you can keep them? I said, you sure can.
Oh,
so I'm keeping them.
Nice. Dude was like, oh, why'd I say that? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, total souvenir. And then, of course, I put them in my car and promptly sat on them the next day.
They're all crunched.
Yeah, they're all crunched. But now I have the two pieces of polarizing film in glasses shape.
There you go.
So that should come to something. Yeah,
we have one DVD. We got Coraline when it came out on DVD, and it comes with like three sets of 3D glasses.
Yeah,
and we tried to watch it in 3D, and
too dim.
Yeah, you know, and it says like it takes a while for your eyes to adjust, but like I don't want to sit there for half the movie and my eyes get all funked up, and then finally my eyes adjust and half the movie's already over. You know, so
we just
watched it the regular way.
You watch this at home?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a 3D,
really?
3D version of it.
How did you possibly watch it on?
It's they did the like the overlay thing. So like this, when you take the glasses off, it's like, you know, like green over red or whatever the 3D colors are. But it's
the
picture slightly not lined up, and then you put the glasses on, and it's really kind of dumb.
Yeah, well, the technology they use in IMAX 3D is based on polarized light.
Yeah.
So that's why you need the special polarized glasses. So it's not this. It's not the color transfer, which looks like crap.
Yeah, yeah. Because we were watching, and it was like just like we turned off the 3D effect, or we started the movie without the 3D effect, and everything was the colors were accurate.
Yep.
But when you do the 3D thing, it just everything's like muted.
Yeah.
And it was just like, bleh.
Yeah, like Yeah, the new 3D TVs use the polarizing technology. Huh. So, like, you get accurate color with if you're watching it with the 3D IMAX stuff. Really? It's just a little bit dimmer because it's basically going through a set of pair of sunglasses that you're wearing.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's much better. That's fun. You should consider it. But
seeing it in 3D?
Yeah, you should consider it. Yeah. So you'll get a chance at some point. Something. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, let's watch something in 3D. I don't know. I'm not sold on a whole 3D thing yet.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway.
So
Moving right along.
So I guess the news of the hour is like this internet phenomenon that you've become. Like your proposal video. Yeah.
I guess we have to cover that, huh?
I think we have to. People want to know.
Yeah. So for anybody that hasn't been following, so I've been working on a secret project for quite a while now.
Secret project.
And the secret project revolved around finally proposing to Sarah. We've been together 10 years. It was more than enough time. And so I was going to propose to her, but I had this idea. I wanted to do it. But the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to make a movie trailer. And then I wanted to show the movie trailer. I was like, man, if I had made a movie trailer, I could show it to her at the theater. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, and then, of course, the little light bulb went off in my head. The little Sid light bulb went off in my head. Yep, in the back of the head, he goes, hey, wouldn't it be really cool if they looked like Muppets? And I was like, oh, my God, little Sid in my head. That's a fantastic idea. If I had Muppet versions of Sarah and I, first of all, mm-hmm. just the fact that if I had Muppets of Sarah and
I,
then I could do a Muppet trailer. And then I could show it at the movie theater. And then, like, I would just, like, that would be, that's me right there. That's me, like, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had known that FAO Shorts in New York has the Muppet Whatnot workshop. I can't say that. And you can marginally get a custom Muppet that you can order for them, and it's like $130. And I had showed Sarah that in the past, and I was like, oh my God, can we have these? And she was like, she's like, they're cool, but I can't, I can't justify you spending, $130 times two or whatever for Muppet. She's like, they're cool, but it's, maybe someday save your money, save your pennies, save your lunch money. And so I was like, man, I wish I had those. And I was having, like, cause I didn't want to do anything else. I was like, well, I thought maybe like I would wait until like Liz Longley came back up and maybe I'd try to propose during the concert, or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, it just seems cliche, and I wanted to get away from the cliche thing because I'm just not a cliche person when it comes to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I was like, "All right, I'm going to go back to the Muppet site. I'm going to take a look at it." And the day I went back, they were on sale with free shipping, and I was like, "Done. That's it. Done. Sold. Bang." So I set them up. I tried to make them look as similar to us as possible, which means mine has a beard, and then Sarah's has glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of things I would change. Like I noticed, I should have got a smaller nose for Sarah's. Because the nose on hers is a little bit big.
Yeah.
And I should have got like a cuter little button on nose.
Mm.
So I ordered them. And as soon as I ordered them, I'm like, okay, now I can sit. Now I'm ready. Now I got to. So I knew I was going to do the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And then I knew what song I was already going to set it to because I had been listening to that song for a while. And I'm like,
where have you come across the song before?
I stumbled across it's from a short film that's on the internet. It's called Tin Man. No, it's called Heartless, the story of the Tin Man. And it's like this little independent film about the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz and how he sort of ends up in that spot that they find him in.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of cool. And it's like this, the costume's all kind of like steampunky and stuff. And he's got like these things, exhaust things on the back. Nice. And there's exhaust. And so they've got this, it's a good song, but it's like, it's a little sappy.
Yeah.
But I kept listening to that song and I'm like, this song is the perfect Muppet song. It works so well. Cause it's so saccharinely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to have for Muppets. Like Muppets can't just have like a regular love song. They have to have like a Muppet.
That's true. They don't hold back. They go all the way.
Exactly. Yep. So I'm like, man, if I get the Muppets for that, and I throw that song on there, so I knew I had the song. And then I called. I think I notified you like the day I ordered them. I think because I was so excited.
You had this mad look in your eye.
So I ordered them, and then I called Dave, and then I called my buddy Ryan. And I've known Ryan since I was in second grade, and he's just a big of a Muppet fan than I am. So I told him my idea, and he was like, oh. So then, like, the biggest thing was waiting for him to show up. Like, I was following him, like, multiple times a day. I'm checking UPS. I'm like, hurry up, Muppets, please come. So finally they showed up. They came to the studio, And, like, I opened them up, and I was like, and I didn't, when I first got them, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is, like, you know, some sweatshop puppet that, like, just has the Muppet thing, like, stamped on their body somewhere. Or, and I took them out of the box, and I was like, these are 100% legit Muppets. Like, they just, they look like them. They've got, they are them. They're them. They're down, right down to the fabric and the quality of, like, the nose and everything. So, like, the day they came in, I called Ryan. I'm like, you have to get over here. You have to see these. You have to see these right now. So he rushes over, and it was so funny. Like, we had the two of them out, and it was like we were still in, like, sixth grade, like, doing something stupid. Because, like, we were, like, laughing and laughing, and we're making them do stupid things. We were making them yell and talk, and we're just making them laugh. And we were just laughing like crazy. So then I was like, okay, well, there's a couple of I want to find some – I want to upgrade the costumes a little bit. So we took them over to Babies R Us that day. And, you know, imagine this, like, two 35-year-old guys walking into a baby store with Muppets. So we walked in, and we were trying to, like, hold shirts up to the bodies to make sure that they would fit and everything like that. So that was kind of cool. So that was it. We had our costumes. We had our Muppets. And then it was just a matter of locking in a time to start filming. And then you guys helped me with that. We just took 3 days. I think the first day we started at Greeley Park, and we did all the outside stuff. And then the second day we did stuff at the apartment. Ryan helped me with stuff at the apartment, which was the opening scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last day we came here to the studio and we did some scenes with, like, a little piano, and then we did the actual, like, ring presentation thing. So we did 3 days of filming, and then the rest of the time I didn't take too long to cut it. I think I cut it in a matter of days, because I was cutting it as we were recording it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it, and at the end of the day I'd come in and dump all the footage, and I would just cut what I had. So that was it. So once it was done, like, I had this thing, and we added the soundtrack. And I remember you were watching my shoulder as I was editing the scenes, and we had the infamous twirl scene.
Yeah, we're dying to know how that worked. We were trying to figure out the technical aspects of it when we were doing it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, we're
and that was kind of like
killed.
That was kind of like the make or
circles.
Break scene. Yeah. Like, if it didn't work with that scene, because that's like the totally over the top love scene.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, we had the music edited to it, and you're standing over my shoulder, and you saw that scene, and the music just hits this crescendo just as they start spinning, and you were just laughing,
and I'm going, "It worked!" And so I was like, "I can't believe it works, but it does." This
is total success moment.
Yeah.
So that's it. So it was burnt, and I put on a DVD, and then the next step was trying to find a place to show it.
Yeah.
And so I sent an email out to two local theaters, and within like 12 hours, I heard back from Kalina Guzman up at Red River Theater in Concord, and she was like, "I want to see it." She's like, "Bring it up." So I brought it up. And she hooked it up, and we went into the theater, and she showed the first thing once. And then she was like, "Oh, my God." And she's like, "Can I see it again?" She's like, "Can I play it again?" And I'm like, "Absolutely." Uh-huh. So while she was setting it up again, two more women employees came in. And so there was three. There was Kalina, and then there was these two female employees. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the second showing, like, they were all crying.
Uh-huh.
And Kalina was just like, she's like, "I can't say no to this." She's like, "You have to do this. We have to do this for the, you know." And I'm like, "Awesome."
Yep, yeah.
So that was locked in, and then it was just a matter of waiting to hear back from her as far as dates, because mm-hmm. she wanted to schedule it so that it was in between actual movie screenings.
Yeah.
Like, one got out at 3:30 or something, and then the other one wasn't going to start until 5. So that left us like an hour and a half difference. So she emailed me with three dates and with some times, and we locked in the time, and then she came up with this whole, you know, I was like, "Well, we got to figure out how to get Sarah to the theater." And so she made up a PDF flyer that she sent to Leslie, our friend, who was going to be our cover. And Leslie, quote-unquote, invited us to the movie because they were, quote-unquote, members of the theater. And this was a special member. It was this whole elaborate thing.
Yeah.
And it totally worked. We got there, and I, you know, like, Dave was in charge of handling all these people. I wanted friends and family to be there. And so we sort of planned it so that we had three real movie trailers in front of that one. So that when the lights went down and the movie trailer started to show, family and friends would sneak in to the theater while it was dark, and they sat behind us. And then the trailer came up, and she just started sobbing.
Yeah, we couldn't tell from where we were sitting.
she was really quiet because she didn't want to. She's like, "I just didn't want to." Like, and she said at the minute when it first started, she didn't recognize what it was. Like, she goes, the Sarah puppet came up, and the Sarah puppet was sitting in her chair at the apartment reading her book with like her tea mug, but all she was looking at was the puppet.
Yep.
And she didn't see the scene. And then the second scene when Sid comes up and he's playing Halo. Then, like, her hand was on my arm, and all of a sudden it, like, got really, really tight. And then she just started crying. She just started crying, and then I started crying because she was crying. And then the whole time, the two of us are just crying.
You're really quiet.
We were trying not to be like, and then we were rubbing our eyes the whole time. So the trailer ends, and then the title of the trailer movie, you know, comes up, and it asks her to marry me and everything. And then the lights came up.
Yeah.
And then I told her to turn around, and she turned around. And then all of a sudden, all these people were in there that weren't in there before. And then she started crying again because it's like her parents are there, and my parents are there, and like everybody was there. And so I thought it went really well. And it was also, it was really raining that day. And so, like, my aunt wanted to come, but she couldn't make it up there. So she was asking if there was a way that she could see it after the fact. So I was like, all right. So I figured what I could do is I'll just stick it on YouTube, and then that way I can just send everybody the link that couldn't make it, and, you know, that would be the end of it.
Mm.
But little did I know when I put it on there what would happen. So I had made a blog entry the day after I put it on YouTube, and then on the same day I stuck it on Facebook so that friends on Facebook could see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah was like, now can we make it official? Can I officially say something now? And so we put it on Facebook and we put it on YouTube, and it went crazy. It went absolutely crazy. Mike Weinstein, thank you very much, Mr. Weinstein, he put a link to the blog on Needorama, and then it just, like, started going from there. And I think the first day we put it up was Thursday was the first day it spread, and like the YouTube, like the just the hits on the YouTube video were going up and up and up, and then the website started getting hit really heavy.
Yeah.
And then, like, just all these blogs and stuff started picking up on the link, and it was pretty crazy. It was really, really crazy. So, like, the numbers were going up, and I was like, holy crap, like, all these people are you know, watching this, like, what's going on? And then I started getting blog comments. People were leaving blog comments, and it was like, oh my god, you know, you made me cry, you made me cry, I'm in my office, you made me cry, you made me cry in front of my wife and my boss. And I was like, what's going on?
I made my friend Alan cry. I was astonished.
Alan sends me this thing, and he was like, I just want to let you know I'm sitting in the Sears tire repair center with my headphones on, with my iPod playing. He's like, and I'm crying like an infant in the middle of Sears. He's like, you jerk, thanks a lot. And all these people just started responding to this thing, and I was like, what is going on? And then the hippo called, and they said, you know, we heard about this thing. Can I ask you a couple of questions? So I answered a couple of questions. I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, nice. The hippo's going to do a little thing on it. And then the union leader started sending me emails, which I didn't respond to. And that's sort of my political stake on that. I didn't respond to the union leader. Uh-huh. You know, there's certain things that they don't print in their paper, and I don't think that's very, very nice of them to do. That's okay. All nice about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they started posting stuff on the web about it. And then, the Telegraph called, and they wanted to come by the studio, and they wanted to do an article for the Sunday paper. And I was like, okay. So they came by, and they took a bunch of pictures, and they asked a bunch of questions. And then around that time, Roni Camille was trying to pitch the idea to some affiliate networks or something. And ABC World News ran something on their, like, early morning show. And there was a clip of that I had posted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little freaky because I guess that's a national thing.
Yep.
And then so that ran. And then I got a call from Fox News Boston. And they wanted to come up from the Boston office, and they wanted to do an interview.
Nice.
So they came up. They came up Monday night, and then that Friday evening, which was the second day of this whole thing, I got an email from Inside Edition, and they wanted to run a feature on it. And I'm not sure that I don't think they've run it yet. I sent them the clip. They told me they were going to run it on Monday night, and nobody seems to have been able to find it because they called Grant Morris. He took a picture for the Telegraph here, and he was going to let them use a picture of the shot with all four of us. So we're trying to figure out if they ran it or not.
Yeah, maybe they just moved it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So then Fox came up on Monday night, and then they ran that on Monday night. I felt really bad too because it was like the first snow that we got. And uh-huh. They left Denham at 4:00, and they got up here at like 6:30.
Yeah, it was really bad that day.
Yeah, yeah, they were like 128, which is completely locked up.
Yeah.
So it took them a while to get up here. So they hung out for a while, and it was kind of cool watching them work because she was asking questions. Oh no! And then to back up a little bit, Thursday night, I got a call from WMUR TV9, which is the local. I think it's
ABC affiliate. Yeah.
So they wanted us to go up to Manchester, and they did a little thing. So we went up there Thursday night. We're going up there anyways for an art opening. Mm-hmm. So we did a recorded thing with them, and so we did that, and then ABC did the thing, and then Fox came up, and they did that Monday night. And then it started to die down. It's starting to die down a little bit. I got contacted by Mike Morin from WZID Radio. Mm-hmm. And so he actually called me this morning. They did a little thing, and I talked to him for about 5 minutes, and he was asking that. And a lot of people found out about that. I guess the last 2 days they were talking up the fact that I was going to call in on Wednesday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, on Wednesday, we're going to be talking to blah, blah, blah.
That's neat.
So that was really – so all these people were like, oh, my God, you know, the radio just said you're going to be on the radio on Wednesday morning, and what time, and blah, blah, blah. So that was this morning, and that went really well. It was really fast. And that seems to be it so far. I'm doing the Camera Campus podcast that I've done before with Keith Tharp.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do one tomorrow morning. He just wants to talk about it a little bit. And I think it's starting to die down now. The website things have died down.
Yeah.
The YouTube video just hit 200,000 views last night.
Nice.
Which isn't bad, I guess, after 6 days or something like that. That's pretty impressive. There's about 198 comments on my blog from that thing. And the weird thing is, like, just, you know, like, one guy's like, hello from Greece. You know, like, thanks for making me cry. And somebody's like, I'm in Italy. Thanks for making me cry. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, holy moly.
Yeah.
And then the Facebook thing is kind of neat because it was like our buddy Martin. His birthday was the other day,
uh-huh.
So I went on his Facebook page and posted happy birthday.
Yeah.
And the very next entry was from a friend of his who had just seen the video somewhere else, and then he went to Martin's page, and then he saw my thing saying happy birthday, and then he was like, oh, my God. He's like, I just saw your video. I had no idea you were friends with Martin and stuff. So it was like this weird little small world kind of thing going around. So that's all, you know, it's all cool. I do want to say the coolest thing, and I don't know if I'm supposed to mention this, but I'm going to mention it briefly just because that was so awesome. The coolest thing so far to happen is I got an email,
mm-hmm.
and there was a picture attached, and right away my eyes went to the picture and I didn't read the email initially, and it was a woman and a husband, and they had Muppets at their wedding, and there was the bride and the groom, and she had this beautiful the white gown on, and he had his special tux, and the Muppets had the exact same clothing. And I'm looking at the girl, and I'm like, I know her face. Why do I know her face? I recognize, like, her glasses, something looks familiar about her.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking at her, and finally, well, you know, dummy, read the email. So I start reading it, and it was like, hey, you know, I just saw this thing and on YouTube, and I love your video, and here's a picture of the two of us at our wedding, and we had our own custom Muppets made. She's like, I had a friend that was a costume designer, and he did these custom design wedding gowns for the Muppets and everything.
Yeah.
You know, really good. I hope you're doing well, blah, 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 all this good stuff. You know, talk to you soon, Lisa Loeb. And Lisa Loeb is like this singer from the 90s.
Yeah.
She had a song on the Reality Bites soundtrack.
Hmm.
And like, I was like, oh, I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world just because, you know, like, me and Lisa Loeb are in this little geek club now of like Muppet people.
Muppet people. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was really cool. So I sent her a quick email back, and I was like, and the Muppets were gorgeous looking. They had this, like, he must have had custom, like, it was like a custom beard that looked like real hair. Yeah, it was really impressive. I mean,
really, huh?
Not to like totally like Muppet geek out, but I was like, that's a very impressive custom Muppet you have there.
Yes.
I got kind of Muppet envy. I was like, my beard, my Muppet looks like kind of like an older version of me, but this one looked accurate.
Yeah, you have a sort of professorial painter look to you.
It does. Muppet. Well, and then, you know, some people are like, what's the deal with the grandpa, like, making a pass at the young Muppet girl? And I'm like, no, it's not, like, within, like, they look as close as I could make them have looked on the website.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this, I also have another thing I need to distill really quick, because there was a lot of flack on some forums about this. The opening scene.
The littering thing?
The littering thing. Sarah is not a litterer. We did not meet while she was littering. We do not litter as a couple. We are not litterers.
Uh-huh. You recycle, in fact, I believe.
We do. We recycle. That's right. As a matter of fact, we do recycle. That scene was supposed to be more of a metaphoric thing, and this is where my ability to be a Muppet director is not as good as my ability to photograph. That was supposed to be it was supposed to be more of a metaphor representing the fact that Sarah, it can be a little more carefree in certain situations.
Uh-huh.
You know, if we're walking along the sidewalk and we come to a traffic sign and you know, the sign says don't walk, I wait for the sign to tell me to walk. And Sarah's the kind of person that's like, you know, she looks both ways and she doesn't see a car coming. And I'm like, no, we should wait for the sign to change. And she's like, look, you idiot. She's like, we can stand here like dummies, or we can cross the street. I'm like, well, you know, like Arlok, a cop will go by just as we're doing it. He'd be like, what are you doing, you jaywalkers?
Yeah.
So that was kind of what that was supposed to represent.
Yeah.
And also at the time we were filming it, like that was the only thing that we could do in the area.
Yeah, the sign was right there. So it's like, look how big that sign is. It's it's like perfect for a Muppet background. The Muppet should do something with it.
Yes. So I thought it was kind of funny. But so just to set the record straight, Sarah does not litter. We did not meet because she littered. I do not endorse littering. I'm not a supporter of littering. We have two large recycling things, and she has a compost bucket, and we recycle as much as possible.
She has a compost bucket?
Yeah, we got
a compost
bucket.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, she takes it to her parents every week.
Wow.
Yeah, she's super. Yeah, I mean, our trash, like we have one of those big trash bins.
Yeah.
We push that to the side of the road, I would say maybe 4 times a year. Because we use so little trash. Everything else is recycled. All our plastic is recycled. Mm-hmm. All our cardboard is recycled. Yeah. And then she composts all this, you know, eggshells and all coffee grounds and all
or
that.
Or you litter it in other places where people...
Yeah, or we just reach out over
just
our
throw
deck.
Out the window.
We just throw it down in front of the other people downstairs and we just blame it on them. Like, what's with those littering people? Like, God, who lets people do that? So she's not a litterer. Mm-hmm. For the record, let the record state, she does not litter.
The record has been set.
So it's been the last week has been absolutely crazy. And I've tried to not let it go to my head. It's exciting. It's exciting. And it's, you know, and it's also, you have to realize it wasn't done for what's happening to it. It was done because I wanted to make something for my lady. And this was the way that I knew how to express myself.
Yeah.
It was done as a gift to her. Everything that's happened after the fact has been after the fact. And so, you know, whoever, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, think that maybe I did this for the sake of trying to promote something else, and that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, haters gonna hate.
Haters are gonna hate.
Those are early comments someone left about, or someone left some comment like CNN will investigate this hoax, and I'm thinking, some 14-year-old angry person probably wrote that. Like, CNN will investigate a Muppet video. Yeah. Like,
it's exciting. So I'm enjoying the ride. It's fascinating to see how this thing has gone, like it's spread out like that. It's crazy. Yeah. So hopefully it's died down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to everybody that's on my Facebook page, you know, I hope you didn't get frustrated with the fact that I was like posting stuff all the time about it. It's exciting for me. It's never happened. You know, who knows if something like this is ever going to happen again. Anyways.
Yeah, I think you handled it fairly well. Pretty well. I mean, it's, you didn't, you know, go overboard with it. And no more than you usually do with like posting stuff that you do, because you post stuff about your photo shoots all the time and places you've gone and stuff that you've done, and this was like a major thing, and a lot of people helped push it, you know, up to that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people shared it, a lot of people posted on their blogs, and we have good blog logs, server logs to show that.
Yeah,
and the server didn't die under the onslaught.
I was very impressed with that.
I was my server's tuned to handle that sort of stuff because I get hit by these. You know, these waves every once in a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, you didn't beat the record, though.
No?
No, I didn't beat the one-day record.
What's the one-day record?
45,000.
Really? For your stuff?
Yeah, for something I did, like, a while ago. Oh, it was something dumb. Like, I drank a lot of water one day, and my back pain went away. It was literally just a comment on this. And I looked it up, and then, like, someone put it on Dig, and then...
That you drank a lot of water.
Yeah, well, because like I'd gone to this. It was at having lunch with some friends at a Chinese restaurant down named Burlington, Sichuan Gourmet, which is a really good place. And I was just mentioning this to my friend Pete, and Pete said, "Oh, I had this back pain once. I drank a wall of water, and then it went away." I said, "What?" "Yeah, the discs shrink down," he said, "and then the bone rubs together." I said, "Oh, I know. I haven't been drinking a lot of water, so I started drinking a lot of water, and then like." The pain went away, and I was like, I felt so much better. So I posted on this surf thing, and for someone found it, and it just shot around the internet. Like, you know, so it was like, you know, it didn't make the internet cry. Maybe it made them drink a little bit more water.
You made their backs feel better.
But yeah, but that was like, you know, at the time, like the server was on a much lighter server, and it wasn't able to keep up with it. So then, since then, I had to like make changes to.
That's great.
Yeah, around the end of the year, I get a lot of surges and stuff for like calendars and planners and stuff like that.
Yep.
So we were ready for it, and like, we
really
had the
funny.
New caching cost software, and the server didn't hiccup a bit. It was awesome.
That's really funny.
So I am very pleased.
Yay!
Very pleased. Yay!
So
you'll get like these residual hits, you know, throughout the rest of the, you know, the year or years to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So it's really funny.
Yeah. That made it a goes lot to of- show. You put a good piece of content out there on the internet that's really good.
Yeah.
People find it. People find it, and they'll, you know, essentially vote it up by linking to it.
Yeah.
And this gives you a foothold into greater visibility on the internet. And you did it, like, in an utterly, like, natural and transparent way,
yep.
which is you know, the yep. currency of the internet.
Yep.
Transparency, awesomeness, you know, accessibility, things that are real. People can pick up on the stuff that's not.
Yeah, yeah, just something genuine. That,
And, you know, haters were going to hate, but, you know.
Haters will hate.
People who actually make stuff just ignore those people.
Yeah.
And they keep making things.
Yeah, they keep on trucking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's been the story for last week. It's been a very crazy week.
Mm.
Very exciting.
Looking forward to some rest, I bet.
It's the website's gone down as far as hits and everything. The Twitter stuff has gone down a little bit. So it'll be nice that when it sort of quiets out a little bit.
You should check your RSS subscribers, see if that number's gone up.
I don't even know what that is. I know what RSS sort of kind of means, but I don't know how to find out like where any of that stuff
is. You know, we probably didn't set it up for your blog to track it.
No.
So you may see that you have residual elevated hits now.
Yeah.
Like it is, you'll probably get some kind of boost.
Huh.
You probably know what your daily levels were before. It was probably on the order of like 100.
Yeah, it was probably right around like something like that.
Yeah. It may be up now that you're on people's radar.
Right.
People may be like monitoring you or just like, oh, I like what this is writing about.
Huh.
So you'll see. It'll be exciting.
I'm going to update my blog more often now.
No, yeah. Well, that's part of like you being awesome, doing awesome things. Just share the stuff you're doing.
Yep.
You know, that's like... And you're doing things every day. And everyone who's putting things out there has their audience.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time and consistency
for
people to find that and to be, you know, provide some kind of value to people. And so, you know, it's a good thing to do.
It's cool. And Sarah's been really good throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, you know, at any point, if you don't want to do any of this stuff, I'm like, you just tell me and I'll just say no, because that's not what this whole thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves it. She's just, you know, like, I love it when she posted something the other day and she was just like, more silliness. And then she had like a link to something.
Nice.
So she's really, you know, she just thinks it's really fun. You know, she likes it when I, for a while there, I was calling her like all this stuff on Thursday and Friday happened. And then Monday morning, like, they aired something and all of a sudden I started getting these phone calls. And so I called her to let her know what's going on. And like, she answered the phone. She's like, all right. I'm like, you ready for Monday? And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, okay, so like Fox just called. And she's like, oh my God. You know, and then like they hit the two people in the background that she works with and everything. You hear them like, whoa, who, what was that? And she's like, Fox called. And they're like, woo-hoo!
That's great.
So it was really.
So how have your parents respectively responded to this?
Oh, my mom could not be happier. She's so proud.
That's great.
She's so proud. She's been telling everybody she knows, just like, oh, he's on the news. And she called. She listened to the radio thing this morning. And as soon as it was done, she called me. And she was so proud. And she was like, you did such a good job. And you answered every question as soon as they finished asking it. And it was very concise answers. And you were very personable. And she's just like, that's what I raised you to be.
Great. Awesome.
So she was very proud. So that's a lot. You know, if anything, you know, aside from this whole thing, like, let my mother indulge.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Did you make your mom the new Christmas tree ornament?
I didn't. We didn't have any. We didn't have any.
Oh,
tinfoil and stuff.
No, that's too bad.
I was over there the other night, and she was saying she showing me the ornaments that I made for her. And she goes, "Well, I just want you to know that after this year, she's going to take all these ornaments down. She goes, and I'm going to give them to you, and I want you to put them on your tree starting next year."
Wow, wow. That's.
But I might let her keep the cup because that's the one that she always talks about—the little cup bell.
She should have one. She should have the cup.
Yeah, she should keep the cup bell. Yeah. So I think for next year, maybe I'll make a cup bell for her, and we'll start 2011. Maybe
that's
I'll
really make, touching, getting all
I'll
the
make one.
Orders.
I think I'll make, maybe I'll try to make one every year for her with a different date on it, just to cheer up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be kind of funny.
That'll be fun. And then you can have all the kids, all the grandkids will be making them.
Oh, God. I know. Now that the engagement's out there and it's official, now, you know.
Yeah.
It's one closer step to all that,
so
all of that.
So it's official once your Facebook status is updated.
It's
right
official
too.
Once the face.
Don't need no stinging cards.
and of course, you know, it's like, so we're thinking of the fall, I think. There hasn't any definite plans. We're thinking of the fall.
Yep. Right.
And that's the rest of the story on that.
Yep. Yep. Okay. You must be exhausted telling this story over and over again.
I don't know. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
You know? I just think it's so awesome that so many people are crying. Yep. Like, it's moving. So it's yep. two puppets and a sappy love song. Oh, and the good and the one more thing I want to mention about this whole thing, especially with the song.
Yeah.
So I was hoping during these interviews that they wouldn't ask me about the song, because I went against all of my principles and I got really lazy and I didn't email the person that had the song before I put it on.
Mm.
Which is, do not do that. Do not do that. But that's I only thought I was only going to show it the one time.
Yep.
And that was going to be it.
Yep.
But he you know, it, he got included in the whole loop and he got caught up in it too. And he loves it. Like you know, his recognition has gone like through the roof now.
Good. Excellent.
And so, you know, I sent him a quick email and he was like, dude, this is totally awesome. He's like, you know, you're like, it's that song and the recognition for that song is like, it's thrown it through the stratosphere now.
Mm.
He said that he's gotten so inundated with stuff. He released the sheet music for it.
Really?
Yeah. He goes, here it is for people that want to play it.
That's great.
And then he released a track only version with no vocals.
Oh.
He's like, so, you know, here you go. Everybody that wants to sing to it and sing with it. And and he did that like the last couple of days.
Nice.
So we've had a little communication. He's really excited about the whole thing. You know, he's like, I you know, like, it's funny when he's like, you know, I'm really happy to be included on this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, I feel bad because I didn't contact him for permission. Yeah. So you should in the future. I should have, you know, asked them.
People like to know where their stuff is going.
Yes,
to.
Yes, they do. You know, they do. So. And that was just totally a lazy thing on my part. I got nervous because I was like, well, this song fits so perfectly. What if he says no?
That's not an excuse.
You know, I know it isn't. Yeah, I know it isn't. But, you know, in the long run, everything worked out. He's very happy with it. He's getting all kinds of attention. And I really hope that he gets, you know, it's good. He writes good music and he writes good stuff. So I hope he gets a lot more out of this. So that was it. So his name is Nicholas Kirk. You should look him up. You should go to WhiteStoneMotionPictures.com, which is the little motion picture company that he works with.
Oh, is that the company that did the Heartless?
Yeah, they did Heartless, the Tin Man. Mm. The soundtrack, you can download the soundtrack for free off their website, or you can download just the song if you want for free. Mm. He's very generous with releasing that to everybody so that they can listen to it.
Oh, that's cool.
So go check him out. Give him your love.
I wonder if the license is applied to the... I wonder if the license for reuse was there already.
I don't know.
Yeah. Copyright's a odd thing.
It's a weird thing. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how all that all works. Mm-hmm. So go visit him. Go check out the song. You know, I told everybody tweet him. Tweet him, tell him how good it is. And he had a whole bunch of tweets from people who were just like, oh, my God, I saw the Muppet thing. I love your song. And he's like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
That's cool.
But it seems like he's getting a lot of attention for it. So that's really cool.
Yep.
I approve of that.
I approve also.
Yes. And that'll be the end of that. We'll wrap that up so that I got a little long-winded on that.
No.
So, but it's exciting.
This is the extended play version of the podcast.
This is the extended for all the people that have to drive to see their family.
Yep.
Now they have an extended podcast, special holiday edition podcast for your Christmas Yule.
Uh-huh. Your Christmas Yule?
For your Christmas. Welcome Yule. So you can listen to that. So that's the whole story for a little behind the scenes commentary on how that whole thing went.
There you go.
And you know, props to Dave for helping us film it out. I can't believe it looked that good in the theater just from using a flip cam.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
I can't believe the flip cam ran out of battery juice, which is like during recording. That's mainly the one thing. I've been hearing that about flip cams having this.
I had double A's in there. Well, the good thing about the one I have is that there's a rechargeable.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about that particular model is the rechargeable charges off of the computer.
Yeah.
And it takes like 9 hours to charge it.
Uh-huh.
You can buy a $40 accessory that'll charge it like in half the time that plugs into your wall.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that I plug it in here and then I don't let it charge hardly at all. I put double A's in it, but I just didn't check the double A's, and evidently the double A's were really low.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I checked it when I got home, I checked it. Said the batteries were 100%. Said good. Go put it in the bag, and I gotta touch it.
Wow.
Then I got there, start recording, and then went, So
that's funny.
Hopefully, we'll be able to get some other coverage for that.
Yeah, and then so that's cool. So like all these, it's kind of cool. Like from what I understand, the Muppet Whatnot Workshop has been getting hit.
Good.
Which is awesome. So it's kind of cool. It's cool to see how this stuff works. Like.
Yeah.
People see something cool, and then they start sort of fanning out all the stuff that took, you know, part in it. like the workshop, and then the guy that, you know, Nicholas with the music.
Yeah.
And then somebody on the, when they did the Fox thing the next morning, they were talking about that camera and stuff like that. So I would imagine, you know, so that's kind of cool. Like all these little tools that were used, and now it's like all the separate tools are getting attention as well as the whole.
Yeah. You're pumping money into the economy.
I'm helping stimulate creative economy.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so that's see, you don't need a $900 or $1,100 HD DSLR.
As much as you want one.
As much as you want one, you take what you have. You take your $150 flip cam, and you take a tripod, and you take two of your friends.
Yep.
And you take a couple of Muppets.
Yep.
That's all it took. And I didn't have any. I used iMovie. Came packaged with the, you know, like crappy iMovie.
Some ancient version of iMovie.
Exactly. It's like an old version, too. So, you know, and that's one of the things I talk about at the workshops, too. It's like you don't have to spend all this money on stuff. And sometimes you almost get lost in all of that stuff. You know, like you spend so much time with all the fancy camera tricks and stuff.
Yeah,
you lose what the message is about.
And sometimes you're just afraid to face it. It takes some guts to put that story that's down there, you know.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to fiddle with the camera settings.
Yeah.
A lot easier to focus on that.
Yeah.
When really, you know, you need to put that stuff aside. When you're writing your thesis in grad school, it's called the read another book syndrome. So you know you got to start writing your original contribution to the field, but you really don't know what it is yet. So maybe if you read another book, at least you're reading another book and you're putting off the inevitable. But you're not really writing anything. It takes guts to make something like that. So kudos to you for doing that and kind of in the theater. You know, I would have been like kind of like, oh, I don't want to go to the theater. It's going to be scary. And
I
said,
I was so excited for that. So excited for the whole theater thing to happen.
Yeah.
And she kind of caught on a little bit. She sort of kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But not. She didn't know what it was. She just had a feeling something was going on that day. And that
which
was
is almost better actually.
Right, because she didn't know. Yeah, she knew, but she didn't know when it was going to happen. So it was like she was like, "Oh, we're going to go to a movie. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sure, we're going to." And then we got there, and she was like, "Oh, we're here at the movie. So it's probably going to be inside." And then she got inside, and she didn't see anybody she recognized, and she was like, "Oh," and then we got in the theater and she sat down, and the theater had the employees come in and sit down around us.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't recognize the people in the theater. So she was like, "Oh, I guess we're really going to watch this movie."
And no one blew it.
And nobody blew it. And then she's like, "I guess this is, we have to go through the movie in order." You know, and then I felt like I wonder if there was like that one moment where she's like, "I actually have to sit here for 2 hours."
Yeah, probably.
Before, you know, like before I find out what's going on.
What was the movie that you ended up
it was
with a, the fake movie?
It was a documentary that they're showing next month.
Yeah.
And the way we constructed the whole lie about it was we said that it had already – pre-sales had already sold out.
Yep.
And so the theater was reaching out to the members
by
a special member event for those that didn't make the pre-sale for the tickets. Yep. They were going to screen it once and one day only. It was a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Yep. If you're a member, here's a pass. Bring a friend. And it was free of charge since they were members.
Yep.
And I thought that was ingenious. Like Kalina had done such a good job making this little thing, and she emailed it to Leslie, and then Leslie forwarded it to us, so it kind of looked more authentic. So it's like that one moment where you could just sort of see like Sarah and like, I really have to sit through this movie. Like, you know,
so
like
what
are
was
they
the documentary? Was the one that she
it was about?
In?
No, it was about it was about guide dogs, like blind guide dogs that people have. It was a documentary about blind people and their guide dogs.
Oh, that would be adorable.
Yeah, you know.
It's sad.
Yes, and the trip up was evidently like months ago. I had said something about when I figured out what the date was. I had said something to Sarah about, there's going to be a documentary playing that Leslie wants us to go see. So we should go see it. And that was like basically all I said, and I didn't say anything about like the movie. I didn't even know what it was. And she was like, "That's not Sid." Like, Sid would not be like, "Oh, there's some strange random movie playing at some random time." She's, you know, like, "I'm too anal about all of that."
Yeah.
So that kind of keyed it off a little bit. But I was like, But I had to do that because I had to make sure she didn't lock that date in for anything.
Right.
Especially when she was like, "Oh, well, we'll do the ornament thing that weekend." And I was like, "Don't do Sunday. Don't do Sunday. Don't do Sunday. Don't do Sunday." And then she was like, "We'll do it on Saturday." I was like, "Okay." So I had to make sure. I was like, "I think Leslie wants to go to the movies on the 12th. On the 12th. So don't lock in any plans on the 12th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm long-winded on that. All right, so we're going to have to wrap this up. So that was our podcast, our 14th. Is this our 14th?
Our 14th one,
our
I believe.
Our 14th podcast, a special extended director's cut Christmas edition with all the extra flair that you could ever want. Yeah, I guess that'll do it. And drive safe this holiday season. And eat lots of yummy turkey and all that stuff.
You have turkey for Christmas?
We have turkey. We might Although Sarah's all excited because we're going to have ham. Her parents are going to have ham on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah? Is that
She loves ham. I think. I have to I have to go over and babysit the ham at one point on Friday.
Ham is supposed to be pretty easy. You just like bake. I guess you just
like in a water or something. Yeah. And they're Sarah wants to go to church with her parents. So she's like, you need to go over and babysit the ham.
All right. So
babysit the ham. I can't wait till I have a kid and then I can say the same thing. We need to find somebody to babysit our ham.
Yeah. You're kind of the ham, aren't you?
You're the ham. I am a ham.
Yeah.
But luckily, people don't baste water all over.
I might have, you know, I think I'll do a duck this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Because for one thing, like if you do a roasted duck, you had to keep puncturing holes in it so the fat drains out of the skin. Oh. Otherwise, it gets all flaccid.
I've never had a good duck. I've had duck once and it wasn't very good.
Was it dry?
I don't even remember.
Duck
but
duck
I've been
be
told
amazing.
If I had a good duck, it's like good.
Yeah, I'm not sure this would be a good duck, but the exciting thing about it is that you get all the duck fat afterwards, and apparently you can make an amazing mashed potato with it.
Really?
Instead of using butter, use the duck fat. Amazing, it's supposed to be. Huh. And like, I thought I was going to do it this Thanksgiving because I had this jar of duck fat. It's supposed to keep for like several months.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find it. I think I'd accidentally thrown it out because I thought it was a moldy something or the other one. But anyway, so I'll probably get one of those frozen ducks and start thawing it out tonight.
Yeah.
And that's then cool. It's like kind of an all-day thing. You just have, every 30 minutes you go and poke some holes in it. Like you flip it, you poke holes in it, and like the fat drains out, and it's all good. But that's the podcast.
All right. Hey, have a good Thanksgiving. Have a good Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I hope you get everything that you wanted.
Merry Christmas, everybody.